Well, happy Palm Sunday, and this is the day that we get to celebrate the coming of Jesus as the King. And unfortunately, it brings Holy Week, is unfortunately because Jesus died, but then we get to celebrate next Sunday that Jesus is alive, that he is rose from the dead. And so today, we've been looking at the gospel threads. And the Gospel Threads is a book by David Platt, and we've been kind of going through it chapter by chapter. And in each chapter, it's been looking at part of what the gospel message is. And so today we're looking at the urgency of eternity. Now, how many of us have ever been driving on a highway or wherever, and all of a sudden you hear some sirens? And the sirens... You're hearing these sirens and you're wondering, probably the first thing you wonder, am I speeding? But then secondly, you're probably wondering, okay, I got to get over. And so what's happening? What is this emergency vehicle? What are they coming to do? Are they coming to rescue someone? And so everybody gets over to let these emergency vehicles pass. And these emergency vehicles, they have this urgency, don't they? They're trying to get there as fast as they can because there's a crisis. There's something that's happened that they need to go quickly to help people. And so there's this urgency. I wonder sometimes when this happens to me, and then it kind of like, you know, we've had all this conversation in the car about different things, or we're listening to music. But then all of a sudden, when we see this, our attention changes. Oh, there's some kind of really bad accident up here, or there's maybe a fire, or something has happened. And it kind of changes our perspective on, not that we're getting gloomy and sad, but just there's this reality that this world, that our life is temporary. Our life here on this planet, on this place, is temporary. And we don't know the time and the date. We don't know when that ends for each of us. But we do know 100% certainty that we are going to die. Or unless Jesus comes back before that. Those are the two options. And so sometimes we think about just all the things in front of us. This week I got to do this. And today is really busy, and tomorrow. And we just kind of think about the normal things. The things that weigh us down. And I'm not trying to say that's bad. But we kind of lose track of the urgency of eternity. And for those that have put their trust in Jesus, we have an urgency to tell the world about Jesus. We have an urgency to let people know the saving grace of Jesus Christ, that only through him we can be saved. And so as we've been going through these gospel threads, the idea of this gospel threads, this book, and if you haven't picked up a book yet, there's still some copies in the back. I'd love for you to read it. It's a short book, about 80 pages. Or you can download the digital copy if you like doing that kind of stuff. But each chapter of the book is about a gospel thread. And really this idea is, how can we, as believers of Jesus Christ, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, how are you able to weave in the conversations in your everyday life good news about Jesus? We don't have to wait for this perfect time to say, have you heard about Jesus? Or do you know Jesus? That time could come, and hopefully it does, but we don't wait for that time. We can be weaving our conversations. We can be weaving the good news of Jesus in our conversations. And each week, what the author encourages us to do is to look for ways that we can display and talk about what Jesus has done. And so the first week we looked at the character of God, and we saw how since God is holy, and he is set apart, he is separate, he is special, and he created us to be holy. And he's just, he's the perfect judge. He can't let the guilty go unpunished. And so God's holiness and justice require a payment that he can only graciously provide. And thankfully, we can know that God is holy and he is just and he is also gracious. And then the next week we looked at this biblical paradox, how we are created by God, but corrupted by sin. And it's just really clear, like God created us in his image, but because of sin, we've all chosen to rebel against God. We've all rebelled against God, and therefore we are separated from God, and we are dead without God. And I know those are not fun things to talk about, that we are dead without God. And nobody likes to bring up, hey, are you dead? No, that's a hard conversation to start. But there's different ways that we can bring those messages in before jumping to the hard part, right? That we can just weave in how we are created by an awesome God, a God that's perfect, a God that's holy, a God that's loving, a God that doesn't want guilty people to be lost for all eternity. But he is a just God, so that has to happen. He can't just look the other way. And so thankfully we have in Gospel Thread 3, we talked about the solution to this dilemma. The solution to this dilemma that is Jesus Christ. God sent his only Son, and by Jesus living a perfect life, the life that we could not live, by Jesus dying the death that we deserve to die, and by Jesus conquering the enemy that we can't conquer, by this solution, we can have life in Jesus. But only because of God's grace and because of what Jesus did on earth as a Son of God, as fully God and fully man. And last week, Greg Leisman, great job bringing the necessity of faith. And really, what is the goal? The goal of faith is to be restored to God. It's not just to come to a club or be part of a group of people similar than you. But the goal of faith is that we are being restored to a holy and righteous judge, a God that loves you so much that he sent his Son to die for you. And so that's the goal of faith. But the role of faith is that Jesus is the basis of our salvation. Jesus alone is our salvation. When we talk about the gospel, we talk about Jesus, the good news of Jesus. Not the good news about the Bible or the things. No, it's all about Jesus and what he did. And so faith is the means of receiving our salvation. We're being restored to God. We're receiving salvation through faith. And then the evidence of our good works, the evidence of this faith, when we've seen that we have faith in Jesus, then our life is going to start changing. And so our life changes to be more and more like Jesus. And thankfully, it's not because we change, it's because his Spirit is working inside us. If you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he gives you his Spirit. He gives you his Spirit so that you can understand what he said. You can live by what he said. And you can have good works. And the good works is the evidence. Remember, in some religions, that would call themselves Christians, they live like, if I do enough good, then God's going to save me. If I just serve more, if I just am kind to people, if I'm just giving my blessing and just doing all these kind things, those are all good. But that, if that is what's saving you, you're very lost. Because that's not what saves. Salvation is through Jesus Christ alone. And so when we embrace Jesus, we accept his free gift of salvation, his rescue for us, then we're going to start having that transformed heart, that transformed life, and that the good works are evidence. It's not the product, it's the evidence. And so that brings us into really this week. Last part, what Greg said, is that faith requires not just believing, but faith requires that we repent. And that this is not a word we like to talk about. This is not something that's comfortable. It's not something we like to do. But repent means turn the other direction. It means to recognize what you've done is wrong and to say, I am no longer living that life. I'm no longer going down the path that's against God, that's rebelling from God, rebelling. And so we repent. So repenting and believing go together. It's not just that we believe, but we repent. And also that biblical faith requires trusting Jesus as not just Savior. That's really good because Jesus is a Savior, but Savior and Lord. The Lord part sometimes gets lost in the mix. We can remember Jesus is our Savior. We're so thankful Jesus is our Savior. But every day, are we saying yes to Jesus and no to myself? Every moment, every day, we have to remind ourselves that Jesus is in charge. It's not what I like, what I want, what I'm going to do. It's what my Master, my Lord, wants. It's what He wants me to do. How He wants me to live my life. So biblical faith requires that trust. Trusting is Jesus is both Savior and Lord. And so then today we get into this fifth thread, and this fifth thread is about eternity. And there's the eternal destiny. David Platt says, everyone's eternal destiny hinges on his or her response to Jesus. Are you going to turn from Jesus, or are we going to trust in Jesus? Remember, I've said there's two, and only two kinds of people. There's people that are turning from Jesus, walking away from Jesus, and there's people that are trusting in Him. There's no in between. There's two kinds of people. And if you feel like you're on the side of, well, I think I'm trusting Jesus, well, are you? Have you given your life to Jesus? Are you making Him your Savior and Lord? Are you yielding to Him? And maybe that's something that you've done in the past, but you've kind of forgotten. That's why we need repentance. That's why we need confession. That's why we need Jesus always open to embrace us, to say, come back. He's always ready to forgive. So are we turning from Jesus, or are we trusting Jesus? Those are the two options. And what David Platt writes about in this chapter 5 is that there's many people that just kind of want to dismiss the idea that there's an afterlife or dismiss the idea that there is such thing as heaven or hell. There can't be such a thing. If God is really a good God, He won't send people to such a bad place. And that's what the world wants you to believe. And that is wrong. Because the world wants everything to be politically correct. The world wants everybody to be fair and equal, and that there's all kinds of ways to get to God if there's a God. But the Bible makes it really clear that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And you have a chance, one way or the other, to choose where you're going to go. And I don't like to put the emphasis on where you're going to go. I like to think of who you're going to be with. Because hell is a place where God is not. And I don't want to be there. Not because of all the other things about hell, but because God is not. Heaven is a place where God is, where He dwells with people. And so there's this dreadful reality that hell is a place of continual rebellion and a final separation. It's not for people that just want to, it's not for people that are wanting to trust Jesus and are trusting Jesus. It's for people that have chosen to rebel, that are saying, I can do it myself. I don't need Jesus. I can go to church a little bit, or I can believe this, or that, but I don't really need to obey Jesus. I can live my life the way I want. It's essentially saying, I'm in charge, not my Lord Jesus. That's probably not the Lord is not in that case, because someone that says they're doing their own thing is not going to say Jesus is my Lord. And so there's this rebellion continues, and unfortunately there's a time that it's over, that there's not going to have a chance for redemption. And the Bible talks about how Jesus is wanting all people to come to him. The Father is actually slow in finishing and bringing Jesus back because he wants people to repent. He wants people to not be in this final separation. In Romans chapter 2, I would encourage you to open your Bibles to Romans 2. And we're going to just look at just a few verses here about what Paul says about this eternity. So in Romans chapter 2, starting in verse 5, we're just going to read a few verses here. It says, "But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourselves for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will repay each person according to what they have done." Remember, pause right there. Remember, we are all guilty. There is no one that's not sinned. There's no one that's perfect other than Jesus. So we all deserve the wrath of God, this final judgment. We deserve to be separated from God in hell apart from God. So in verse 7, it says, "To those who by persisting in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life." And I'm going to say that's through Jesus Christ. Paul says it all through this letter. It's through Jesus that we have eternal life. But it says it here, continuing, verse 8, "But for those who are self-seeking, who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger." And it talks about how they're going to find that they are in rebellion and that they are someday going to be apart from God forever. And I'm going to say they're apart from God now, but they're going to be apart from God for eternity, and that's a scary thing. But we have this glorious reality. This glorious reality. This is not our only chance. This is not our only option of going to separated from God. God sent his son Jesus to bring us to life, to bring us to heaven, to bring us not just to heaven, but to bring us to eternal life, life in him. And so we have this glorious reality. This glorious reality where there's all kinds of verses in the Bible that talks about heaven. And Jesus mentions it several times about how there's such a thing as hell and you don't want to go there. He says it's better for your hand to be cut off than for you to be going to hell, or your eye to be plucked out. He says all these things because it's better for you to have life. Life for all eternity. And that means whatever it takes, do whatever it takes to find Jesus and put your trust in him. So this glorious reality is heaven. Is that we have full reconciliation. We're going to be completely reconciled to God. And there's not going to be this gap between us and the Father anymore. There's going to be complete restoration. And this isn't just spiritual restoration. This is mentally, emotionally, physically. We're going to be restored to the way that God created us to be. There will be no more pain. There will be no more suffering. There will be no more death. There will be no more sadness. There will be no more tears. We're going to be completely restored. And we also will have an ultimate reunion. You know, when you have a family reunion, that could be a good thing or a bad thing, depending on your relationship with your family. But the good thing is that this reunion is going to be with people that you don't even always, you don't know. Like, maybe that's not a good thing, but it's a joyous thing. Like, when you ever go to a sporting event or a concert or something, and people are just super excited. They're all excited for the one You know, the band that they love, they're all singing the song. Or they're so excited because their team is ahead. And you just feel this energy. Multiply that by thousands. We're going to feel this energy in heaven because we're going to be all together and we're all going to be worshiping the Lamb. We're going to be worshiping the King of Kings, the one that came into Jerusalem on a donkey, the one that was a humble servant, the one that paid the price for you and I. There will be no more tears. There's going to be excitement and joy because we're worshiping Jesus together. But there is this critical response that we all have to face. Nobody avoids it. If your parents love Jesus, that doesn't get you to love Jesus. If your parents reject Jesus, that doesn't mean you're going to reject Jesus. You have to do it on your own. You have to choose for yourself. Jesus, trusting in Jesus, or turning from Jesus. And that is what David Platt calls the critical response. He says that will you turn from Jesus or will you trust Jesus? Those are the only two options, turning or trusting. Turning away from this good news. And often, people don't even realize they're turning from this good news. They don't realize they're turning. They just say, I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to live how I want. They don't realize that they're in full rebellion. They don't realize that they're in need of saving. And so for that reason, when we have these conversations with people, they're not going to like it because they don't want to hear about their sin. I mean, nobody wants to be called out. No one wants to be told, hey, you're doing something wrong. You're living the wrong way. Especially in our world today, it's everything so politically correct. You can't tell me that's wrong. But the Bible makes it clear. The Bible makes it clear what is right and wrong. And people, they want to reject because they want to be in charge. But for those that trust Jesus, it's not about us being in charge. It's about letting our Lord, Jesus, be in charge. And so there's just these two options. Turning from Jesus or trusting in Jesus. And these are the options. I love how he ends it in his book about how just wanting everyone to trust Jesus, how wanting everyone to turn from their wrong ways, turn from sin, and to trust Jesus. He says, if you choose to live without Christ now, you'll die without Christ forever. I mean, that's quite a statement. Are we living for now or for later? Because there's this opposite. We can choose to live with Christ now. And live without Christ now, when we choose our own way, when we live our own way, reject Christ now, it might seem fine and good for a few years or your whole life, but then you're going to die without Christ forever. And that is a harsh reality that we want people to avoid. The other option is that we can die to Christ now. That means that we say, Lord, whatever you want, I'm doing. Whatever you say, Lord, I will obey. We pick up our cross every day and say, I'm dying to myself. And Lord, whatever you want, I'm your servant. Show me what it is. Open my mouth to proclaim your good news. And when we die with Christ now, we're going to live with Christ forever. And that's our critical response. We either live or die. Are we living or dying? For eternity, are we going to live or die? And it's not just about me and you. Think about these people that you've been praying for. Think about your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers. People that you rub shoulders with, whoever it is, those people that don't know Jesus, those people, the really harsh reality is that those people, when they die, are going to be apart from Jesus forever if they haven't trusted Jesus with their life. And so I know it's so easy right now to talk about March Madness. I mean, if you're a sports fan, because there's lots of basketball happening. It's so easy to talk about the weather. It's so easy to talk about just the kind of the normal temporal things. But what David Platt encourages us, he wants us, and I'm going to say this too, let's maximize our conversations about eternal things. Are we talking about the eternal things? That's a lot harder to do. It's a lot easier to start a conversation or have conversations about things that are just kind of keeping our eyes on the normal things. But sometimes people don't want to talk about those things unless the emergency vehicle comes by. And I hope it's not so-and-so. I hope it's not someone I know. I hope, and then maybe they even start praying. God, if there's a God, we pray. You know, you hear that in crisis situations, people pray even when they don't trust Jesus. That's the time we can be talking about eternal things. Let's talk about heaven and hell. And I know that doesn't always sound fun. It's hard to do. But we can talk about hell by talking about how God's character, who he is, he's holy and just, and that we can have this humble confidence. That we have this confidence that we know that this place is not our home. This place is temporary. And so why are we so focused on the normal things? Now, people are eternal. And so the word of God is eternal. The Lord is eternal. So let's focus on the eternal things. But unfortunately, if we haven't put our trust in Jesus, those eternal people are going to be living eternally apart from God. So let's speak about God, his character, his justice, his wrath, because these are things we don't talk about. And sometimes it takes some of those conversations to kind of wake us up, to wake people up to realize, man, I don't know what I believe about this, but if there is a hell, I don't want to be there. And that's often what helps people start kind of seeing the difference. Now, I hope that we don't just focus on, hey, let's get away from hell. Here's this way you can get away from hell. Because if we're just trying to get away from hell, you probably don't really love or trust Jesus. So let's talk about heaven. Let's talk about how this world is not our hope. Let's live like this world is not our home. The way that we live, are we living like everything is great right now? Are we living like even in our life is just going through the normal motions of things? Are we living for today and tomorrow and the next day? Are we living for eternity? We're living with Jesus, looking for opportunities to open our mouth and share the good news of the gospel. Because that's hard, but that's what the Lord wants. Let's live like this world is not home. Because our home, our citizenship is in heaven. Let's talk about this anticipation of being with God. That we get to be with him where there's going to be no more tears, no more sadness, no more pain. We get to live with Jesus. And we talk about that realization by realizing that dying is gain. In Galatians 2, I think I have it on the screen. Galatians 2:20 talks about how Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We live in Christ. The next verse says, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, if righteousness could be gained any other way, then Jesus died for nothing, Paul says. If we could earn our salvation, we don't need Jesus. And that's often what people are trying to do. Earn their salvation. They're trying to maybe just ignore the reality that there is a hell and there's a heaven. There's a decision that has to be made, a critical decision, critical reality. It's easier to not think about it. But let's talk to people. Let's be clear with the gospel. Let's be clear. The reason we wanted that, I, as a pastor, I want you guys to know this. I know, we know God is holy. We know God is just. We know a lot of this stuff, but are we living that way? Are we living like God is holy? Are we living like we are, like that we deserve the payment that only Christ can give? Are we living that way? Are we living out of gratitude? So let's be clear about our message. We have to understand it before then we speak it. So that's why I want to encourage you to be reading this book. Highlight the book. Talk about these things. Talk to each other in your families or with friends that know Jesus. Talk about this. But be Christ-centered. And remember, we're inviting people to a relationship with Jesus, not a religion. We're not just saying, come worship with us and learn from us. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's a relationship with Jesus is the focus. We're inviting people to a person that saves them, a person that can save them, did save them, if they put their trust in Him alone. So let's be remembering that we're inviting people to know Jesus. When you have a really special friend and someone doesn't know them and they're in the same room or something, you want to introduce them. Hey, let me. I remember when I first met Dean Leisman. Jane Eby was like, I have to introduce you to Dean. Like, I just need to make this introduction because Dean is so special. Dean is so important. I want you to meet him. She was so excited for me to meet Dean. Everyone is. Everyone's so excited to meet Dean. If you don't know Dean, come meet Dean. Seriously. Dean is special. And she was so excited to introduce me to Dean. I won't forget that. Because she had to have that introduction. So if you know someone that's special, you bring that person to meet someone else. You just can't help it. You're like, I want them to know them. And so let's be bringing people to know Jesus. Let's be confident and trust the work of the Spirit. It's not about what I say. It's not about what you say. It's about what the Spirit of God does. And so we are to be obedient. We're to be the mouthpiece. We're to be telling people and introducing people. But it's not what we do. It's not going to be the way that I convince someone that they have to trust Jesus. And I think that's kind of where if you just want to lead with, oh, are you going to hell or heaven? You know, I want to bring you to heaven. You know, I think that's kind of the problem I have with that is you're just trying to get people, you are trying to get people to make a decision. But we have to be careful because the goal is not a decision for Jesus. Jesus calls disciples. And so we don't want to say, hey, come to Jesus and, all right, you prayed the prayer? Good, yes. All right, you're going to heaven someday. It's not about a decision. It's about a discipleship. It's about trusting in Jesus and walking with Jesus, being transformed by Jesus. So let's not focus on the temporal things. Each day this week, I want to try to do this. And I want to encourage you to do this too. When you're at dinner or when you're going to bed at night, sometimes when you're brushing your teeth, I don't know, pick a time in your evening and ask yourself this question, or you can even ask someone in your family this question too. But ask yourself, how much of my conversations were about temporal things? How much about my conversations today were about the normal things? And I'm not trying to say you can't talk about normal things, because we need to talk about the normal things. That's part of our life. But I want you to ask yourself, did I have a conversation? Did I weave the gospel message? Did I say something about God? Did I say something about eternal things today? And you don't have to pat yourself on the back, but maybe your spouse can. It just will help us remember, What are we living for? Who are we living for? Are we living for the temporary or the eternal? And do we have an urgency? Are we ready to tell people about Jesus? Are we looking for opportunities? Are we praying for opportunities? Because when we are praying for opportunities and we're looking for opportunities, God's going to give you opportunities. And I know an easy opportunity is you can grab one of these cards. These cards talk about when we're having our Easter message next week, our Easter celebration. You can invite someone this week to come to church. And I know that's hard to do, but people are a lot more open to come to church on Christmas and on Easter. And so, even if it's hard to do, I want to encourage you to either invite someone to church, or if they're going to church, you can say, that's great, go to church. Go to River Valley. Go to Dewey. Go to CU Church. Be part of a church. We want you in church. We want you in church because we want you to know Jesus. You can also ask this question, how can I pray for you? Very short question, but it can lead to a lot of places. How can I pray for you? How can I be praying for you? When someone's having a hard time, hey, sir, can I be praying for you? Can I pray for you now? This world is not our home. So let's live like we're living for the eternal. So that's my challenge for each of us this week, and to be looking at maximizing our conversations about the eternal. About the eternal things. Our challenge. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you are the only one that saves. You are the only one we can put our trust in. We thank you that you came to die for us. God, we pray that this week, as we move into Holy Week, we think about you coming in as King, as you dying on a cross, and how you rose from the dead. As we anticipate those things, as we think about those things, God, I pray that you would help us to have our eyes on you, that we would maximize our conversations and our thoughts about the eternal things, that we would have an urgency of eternity. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here or listening that doesn't know you, that hasn't put their trust in you alone, Jesus, I pray that you would bring them to you, that by your Spirit, they would put their trust in you. Lord, we pray that we would have fruit, that we'd see disciples, we'd see people coming to you and growing in you. We pray that this Easter would be a way that people would see you and worship you as the King, the true Son of God. And Lord, we pray also even for this afternoon with this Easter extravaganza in Fisher, we just pray that many people would hear your message of salvation. And not just hear it, but their hearts would be softened to receive. And God, we pray for people to trust you, to realize that the only way that they can be with you for all eternity is to accept your free gift of salvation. That rescue that you gave to each person that trusts you. Lord, please help us to have conversations. Please help us to be thinking about how we can be living for eternity, living as with you as our Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.